At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
That's good, because Adam, when's the last time we talked to Jeff? It was pretty. We didn't talk to him last week.
No, right? We didn't talk to him.
Yeah, we had the rare.
He was back in New Orleans, hanging out with Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier.
I thought he was up to. We missed him here on Birds 365 because Jeff is one of our staples here. The viewers love him. We love him. So good to always have Jeff Kerr. He's going to join us now here on Birds 365. Jeff, welcome to the show, man. On a Monday edition, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Have you started drinking yet, Jeff Kerr?
I ate enough Mexican food and drank enough hurricanes last week to make up for anything today.
There you go, brother.
Nice. Back to that New Orleans food. What's your bowl? What's your best game?
Oh, God. You don't even want to go there. You know, I'll say, pick Jalen Hurts' worst game of last season. Double that. That's how bad that bowl.
Oof. That's not good. There were some stinkers thrown there.
Yeah. I'll say this. I bowled bad enough to get kicked down the division.
But that's
a good thing because – next year, it's almost like a promotion relegation system. I have a better chance to win a lot more money next year.
All right. How was the Metairie IHOP? Did you see Kellen or Doug at the Metairie IHOP?
I did not see Kellen or Doug at the Metairie IHOP, but we were near the Metairie. I actually sent a picture to our buddy Oscar Budahin of the hotel we stayed at. Your Ramada. I forgot to send it to you. Your Ramada and the Comfort Suites.
Nice. All right. Enough New Orleans talk. I'm sure you saw it from New Orleans. And, you know, when the Eagles drafted Jahad Campbell, pretty much the first thing Howie did was A, rave about his pass rushing ability, and B, say, don't put the player in the box, don't pigeonhole him. And the only thing anyone has done from that point is try to put Jahad Campbell in a box. He's an all-ball linebacker. He's an edge rusher. He's got to be this. He's got to be that. Where's Jeff Kerr on the great Jahad Campbell?
Wherever they want to put him. That's kind of how I am with him. If they want to rush him on third downs, I'm for it. They want to play him next to Zach Bond or N'Kobe Dean, or if Dean's not ready, they want to play him next. Honestly, John, I think in training camp, we're just going to see him all over the place, and they're not going to play their cards, or maybe they are playing their cards by just having him everywhere.
I don't even know if we're going to see him in training camp, to be honest.
That's true, because is it the shoulder injury that you guys were talking about this weekend?
Yeah, he had a March shoulder surgery for labrum surgery. So, you know, if you look online, none of us are doctors, but generally the rehab for that is 6 to 12 months, which is a wide range. So I'm going to, you know, he's a high-level athlete, so I'm going to lean towards 6 months. And 6 months from March takes you basically to September.
Yeah, so he won't start the year. But again, for this team and the way I think this year is going to go, I think that pick is worth, especially if you think he's a top 10 player on your board.
Oh, yeah, long term. And that's what Howie has also said. This is a long term pick. So for the people that are hyper focused on day one of training camp, you're going to be disappointed. Maybe even week one of the NFL season, you're going to be disappointed. But long term, you know, who cares if he misses? And Howie made the comparison to Cooper DeJean last year, who basically didn't play the first 4 games and after the bye week took off in week 6. You know, nobody remembers.
They lost one game that Cooper DeJean played.
Well, they lost one game that a bunch of people played.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's why I said, but Cooper was phenomenal. Best slot cornerback in football last year. But I always, it's interesting you bring that up because a lot of people say, Well, the Eagles won without Dallas Goedert. Yeah, they also won without Jordan Mailata. You don't want to say Fred Johnson is better than Jordan Mailata. So a lot of people use that as try to get the excuse out of they could win with.
I've been arguing with a lot of people about Dallas Goedert over the past 2 months, and I understand the business side of this, but just keep the damn guy.
I know.
This makes no sense what they're doing right now.
Run it back one more year.
Yeah, but it's not that. I don't know if it's that simple. I mean, right? Goddard's probably looking and probably like, dude, I want to cash in.
Yeah, but it's been to the point where he's probably not going to cash in.
Yeah,
I'm with you earlier on the calendar. I said it's a two-way street. Maybe Dallas wants to wait. He sees this as his last opportunity to get multiple years of big money. You know, his agent has been looking for a deal for a long time now. It's now May 5th. Everybody's budgeted. Indianapolis got Warren. You know, there's not many spots that are willing to give him George Kittle money. Yeah, there's none.
This is the statistic from the draft where I said definitely keep him. Five tight ends were picked in the top 50. That has never happened in the common draft era. So there you go.
And they didn't take one. Well, yeah, which, by the way, from my estimation, they should have taken one even if they kept Goddard, because we're gonna now we got a bunch of tight ends on the roster with 1 year deals. What are we gonna do next year?
This is my thing. I like Harrison Bryant as a player. I like Kylan Granson as a player. Do not give me the bullshit that they can win with these guys if Dallas Goddard's gone. Just don't give me that.
Well, they can win.
I wouldn't go that far because if you look at some of the big, some of the games last year, even when they did throw the ball a lot, Goddard wasn't always involved in every one of those games. The two big games they threw the ball last year were the Bengals game and the Steelers game, where Goddard didn't make much of an impact. Now, I'm not saying Goddard's not valuable. I'm just saying, to John's point, they seemed to win every game last year, no matter who missed, besides A.J. Brown, basically, and Jalen Hurts. Those are the only two guys that when they missed, they
but
lost.
You still so
they did win without Goddard, right? I mean, their team is still good enough to win without
Goddard. But they didn't play a full season without Goddard.
No, they didn't, and that's different.
Right, it was great in the postseason when they needed him most, and he's running over Green Bay Packers defensive backs.
Yeah, it's true.
Dallas Goedert had a tremendous postseason. We talk about the postseason Jalen had and what Saquon had and how this defense – it's like we didn't let go unnoticed, and I don't think the fans did either, but it just feels like it wasn't talked about enough how good Dallas Goedert was in the playoffs.
Yeah, he was phenomenal in the playoffs. And to me, it makes too much sense now for both sides to come to a agreement. And I think ultimately I've now shifted to that. Earlier in the offseason, I was under, if you go 50-50, I was 51. He was leaving at least, and some probably went up to 60 or 70 at one point. Now I'm leaning towards he's going to be back,
Well, yeah, the draft played out, and, you got the comp pick deadline now that's passing. And, just keep the guy. It doesn't make any sense now.
I wonder if it's still, like, you guys remember, obviously, a couple of weeks ago when they did release or when they did move on from C.J. Gardner-Johnson, they traded them to Houston. It was kind of explained, at least through the grapevine, that it was not salary cap, it was cash. Do you think that problem is still going on? Like, do you think that's what's going on with Goddard, where it's not like they're cash broke, but they're looking at what's coming ahead and they're trying to store some of that cash for next year? Because you're probably going to have to give Goddard, what, $10 million at least? Is that a part of it, you think, John?
Yes and no. Like I said, if Dallas was perceived as a pain in the ass, probably yes. Right. He's not, so no.
No, he doesn't seem like he's a pain in the ass at all.
So while we say it was, and it was cash over cap with CJ, look, if he was a different personality, is all I'll say, he'd still be here. Simple as that.
I agree.
Into it, but the financial part was part of it. But again, if he were not high maintenance, let's be kind, he'd probably be here.
Yeah, and CJ said all the right things in his opening presser in Houston. years ago. Like, this was his sign. He had to grow up and had to be a leader, had to do this, had to do that. Again, he says all the right things a lot of times. He says what you want to hear. It's actually doing it. It's the stuff people don't see. That, and look, we're not bashing a guy while he's out the door. We're just telling the reality of the situation.
Well, I said it when he was here. So,
I said the same thing, but you know, people don't want to listen to you. They don't want to listen to me. The Phillies are a good team either, but you know,
The season is not over for the Phillies. So,
congratulations. I had people on me before yesterday. Oh, well, they still have this problem. They still have this problem. They still have this problem. I said, then go see a shrink. I don't know what to tell you.
Go see a shrink.
I might steal that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Go see a shrink. Oh, that's funny. That is funny, Jeff. Jeff,
what's an old bully term when we're struggling? It's like overall with the draft?
Well, yeah, go ahead. I wanted you to get your comment out. You just cut out a little bit, but go ahead.
No, that's an old bowling term we say every time we're struggling. It's like, all these problems you have on the lane, so go see us right.
Yeah. We didn't get you that, Jeff, after the draft. Just your thoughts on kind of everything that the Eagles did. They took 10 overall players, which is a boatload of players, traded back several times, ended up with only two players in the first 2 days, and then eight on day three. So a big day three. What'd you think of what the Eagles did in the draft this year?
I'm actually shocked they made as many picks as they did. And look, I like the picks they made. I thought they were safe picks. But, you know, Xander, I said to you, I think it was the Thursday night or Friday I was on. Draft class sucked. I'm sorry. It was not a good draft class. And they're picking bad players from said draft. I don't want to hear this guy's a project, this guy's a project. I'm going to tell you this right now. Half these players would not have been picked if the better players went to the draft class. And that's including guys on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I was harsh on the draft. But, A, I think the draft class at the top was bad.
Yeah, right.
And that was my philosophy. It's like, okay, they're a little bit better in the later rounds. But
yeah, see, I like what they did on day three a lot better than what they did on days one and two, to be honest. And by that, I'm not saying they're going to turn into better players. I think they took a bunch of guys that have upside.
You hit on one of these guys.
One or two. Samaal Mondon, specifically for me, Drew Kendall, Kyle McCord, and they might hit other places. I thought was a good pick.
I actually really liked the lineman they picked. I thought this was
a better Miles Stanton, Cameron. I guarantee you Stoutland hits with one of the two.
Yeah, that's why I didn't hate their day three picks. I hated the draft, but I didn't hate their picks because – they're picking picks that you can at least get NFL careers out of. All the guys you mentioned.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I'm not saying they're going to be high-level players. Although, I think Mondon has a chance to be
Mondon, I liked in college. I liked Miles Hinton in college a lot. I think if you get him in the Stoutland U and he just kind of toils around there for 2-3 years, there's no reason.
Yeah, I think Cam Williams has a huge upside. But, you know,
he's a Cam Williams guy. Doesn't Cam Williams feel like the Fred Johnson type?
A little bit. Hopefully.
I like Cam. He only started 1 year before he came out.
I think he's got a much higher upside.
You know what I liked about the linemen they picked? They picked guys that can back up the starters and they can develop into something. Like Drew Kendall, I think, could be
I love that kid.
A really good player in this league.
I guarantee he's a starting center in this league. Not here.
I do too. And you know, you never know what happens with Cam. If he gets injured, there's Drew Kendall.
Yeah, it's true. Drew got him for 4 years. I do like that play.
That's the thing. I had to go off about the draft though. I had to go off about the draft because
I'm with you.
I was underwhelmed.
Yeah.
One of the things, I don't know if you saw the Eagles put up their little draft room, war room video. With Howie trying to trade from basically number 22. They thought they had a deal with the Chargers. They didn't go that far. I think a lot of people said, Howie was going to give up 64, so that would have been stupid. No, that's what the Chargers asked for. Then they cut it off.
So I was told this going into the draft. If the player they got, Hampton, was there at 22, the Chargers were not trading because they were hell-bent.
Yeah, they didn't trade. So, but a lot of people said, well, Howie got him for one, you know, moved up one spot, gave up 164, I think.
Yeah.
So it would have been stupid to give up 64. But that's not what happened. If you watch the video, that was what the Chargers wanted, and we never got to, and that's state run media. They cut it and edit it. So you never got to hear the response.
Well, what about the you hear the Commanders thing with Adam Peters?
Oh yeah. Well, that was the two thing, and I was gonna. They tried to trade Green Bay, nothing. Minnesota, nothing, because they wanted Donovan Jackson. Giants moved up. Now the Falcons was interesting because Howie just ripped essentially. Who was it? Fontenot. Yeah. What's his first name? Terry.
Terry Fontenot
in Atlanta. That was a brutal trade. Oh, I don't care what James Spears and Howie just kind of snickered and said. You know, okay, well, now we know why nobody's accepting our trade offer.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money
at This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You said the future first.
Yeah, Detroit had no interest whatsoever. Washington was interesting because, as Jeff said, Adam Peters after last year, you know, remember, they were the Cooper DeJean. Now, they got a good player, too, but
they didn't get Cooper DeJean.
They didn't get Cooper. So I think he was feeling, and he called it an in-division tax. So Howie said no there. Buffalo seemed to have no interest. And then they moved up, and it was interesting because Howie was talking to Brett Veach, and obviously they're very close. Kansas City, Philadelphia, very close. Originally, he said 168, and he said bottom of the round. You know, we kind of snickered because they beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So nice little backhanded slap by Howie there. And then he had to go up to 164, which is kind of meaningless.
So yeah, and that was the pick they acquired from the Kenny Pickett deal.
Yeah, so not very meaningful. But that's they took you through that whole – so they were trying to get him at 22, and he still fell to 31. And then I see all these people after talking about how do NFL teams keep letting good players fall to the Eagles? Well, hey, y'all had a chance, so stop complaining about it.
Yeah, basically everyone. Well, it's the same thing with the Ravens. You know, everybody lets good players fall to the Ravens.
Exactly.
By the way, this is why I thought it was going to be harder for the Eagles to trade. Do people forget the Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens, Washington Commanders, Kansas City Chiefs? I'm just naming teams in the back. They're pretty good. They're, you know, the Eagles are the team they're trying to beat. Why would you want to help them?
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, that's clearly what went on with Adam Peters in Washington. I mean, that's, you know, that they're fighting for the division, in theory, on paper.
Yeah, and look, they're a better team than the team that they put on the field in the NFC Championship game. That doesn't mean they'll have a better result, but
they're playing scared, Jeff. I love it. I smell blood, Jeff. They're playing scared.
Speaking of Eric DaCosta, Baltimore, which I always say, if you ask me who the smartest teams in the NFL are, I always say the Eagles, and people think I'm a homer, and the Ravens. It's funny when people think I'm a homer.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're a homer?
I know. Okay. Well, only when I say good things. When I say negative things, obviously I'm the worst person in the world. But
you're a Viking, and a Vikingite is what they call you.
Yeah. Viking. Well, I covered the Vikings for years. Yeah,
so people think you're a Viking.
I mean, you could look like a Viking, John. Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna Photoshop John in like a Viking.
Well, yeah, so he's a, you know, I like I said, I tell this story all the time. I keep all my hate mail. I love it. I feed off your tears. So I have a big, you
and Nick Fierro.
So yeah, I have a big folder in my email, and I'm trying to get to all 32 teams because everybody accuses me of being a fan of the team that they hate. So I'm like at 29 or 30. So, you know, and it's funny because Minnesota specifically, because so many people in Minnesota think I'm a Green Bay fan. It's fucking hilarious. Because I love Brett Favre. I loved Aaron Rodgers. Loved them. Loved them as players.
Most people did.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Best quarterbacks of all time.
I know.
I know a bunch of guys on that 90s Packers team. I hung out with them.
I'll never forget the first time I said, and I still say it to this day, but the first time I said, no quarterback has ever played the position at a higher level than Aaron Rodgers at his height. Not saying he's the best. I'm saying at his height, nobody has ever played the position at a higher level. Oh, the Vikings fans lost their minds.
From 93 to 98, there wasn't a player better in the NFL than Brett Favre.
Yeah, well, oh, I agree. I'm wholeheartedly on that. But I just think it's hilarious. So, but the two smartest organizations are the Eagles and the Ravens. And I don't know if you guys saw Eric DaCosta, but he was on. He's talking about the Massey Thaler Losers Curse, which is this paper a number of years ago that basically said, hey, goofballs, you all draft at the same level. So the best way to go about it is to, you know, get a bunch of picks, get more lottery tickets.
They did
all this research. And DaCosta was talking about it. And look, he's more, you know, contextual with it. Like if you're obviously in the top five, you got a better opportunity to get a good player. But when you start talking about day three, what the Eagles did last, now you can't always do it. But the Eagles got a bunch of good lottery tickets.
It was smart to do that.
Yeah. And
the kid from Virginia Tech, you know, that's a seventh round pick that some teams have a fifth round grade on.
Yeah, six. But still, I like that player, Jeff. I like that.
Yeah, that's right. He was a six. I forgot two tens in the six.
Yeah. And Jeff, I think your point is well taken. Like, fans will say, oh, they're boxing Howie out. Well, yeah, we're the best. So people aren't going to try and help you. But do you guys think it's getting to an obvious point where they are trying to box Howie out? He's kind of won every draft for the last 4 years.
I'll just say this, Sander. When you screw everybody at least once, you're eventually going to run out of people to screw.
Yeah, boy, yeah, Howie hates that term, by the way. He says it all the time. He's like, you know, he's not like Sam Hinkie. Sam Hinkie was like that. If you're a Philadelphia fan, like he wanted to win every trade. Howie's whole philosophy is, hey, I'm trying to help the other team too, because then they're going to want to trade again down the road.
Yeah, right. We can continue to do business.
Well, if you make good picks with the picks you're getting, you're going to keep. But, yeah, you know, I really do think it's the Eagles are on top. They're going to be on top for a bit. Like, they're not going to win Super Bowl every year, but they're going to be around. We know that. And teams are just
going to be like, well, they're going to be good. But see, that's the problem. And that's what Howie said because he was asked that a couple times over draft weekend. We asked him that a couple times. Our team's not willing to trade with you basically because of your reputation. And he said flat out, he didn't get that feeling at all. It had more to do with where they were picking. You know, that 32nd pick isn't as valuable as 22, even 22 or, you know, 24, whatever. It's harder to move up when you
in a better first round. It's a different story.
And by the way, future picks, everybody realizes, well, the Eagles might not win the Super Bowl last year, but they're going to be good. So it's still going to be their picks are going to be 27, you know, 28, 24, maybe in the worst case scenario. Still not good picks compared to other picks. Some of the other teams. So I think it has more to do with that. But I will say this. So NFL.com did their bullshit draft ratings.
How can you grade a draft? I'm always curious about that.
But the Eagles got a B+, blah, blah, blah. And they were talking to some executives and personnel people. And I guess, you know, maybe that wasn't the one. But whatever. All these people, do they have compromising picks? That's how we have compromising picks. I mean, he's in people's heads.
Rent free.
Yeah. I mean, and even he doesn't like it, but, you know, they got a nice prospect at 31. They didn't get Lawrence Taylor. You know, and the self-defeating NFL is like, oh, woe is me. You could have taken him.
A lot of people could have taken Jahi Campbell.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't get any of that. But other than he's very good at his job, and like Eric DeCosta, he realizes, look, we're all basically 50-50 with these things because they're human beings. Some are going to hit, some aren't going to hit. Howie's on a heater. He knows that. So, you know, you're going to have a regression to the mean at some point. So the more picks, the more chances you have to hit, basically.
Especially in a draft like this. You know, you make 8 third-round picks, I mean, day 3 picks, and you're just like, okay, if we get 1 or 2, 2 would be amazing. But if you can get 1. I mean, everybody hates the 2011 Eagles draft class. Everybody hated it, but there's a Hall of Famer in it.
Yeah, I mean, well, any draft class. If you look at, now that it's become less of a thing because of what the Eagles were able to recover and finally do at wide receiver with AJ and Devontae. But remember, you know, Jalen Reagor was a big thing for a while and how bad that pick was. In the same draft, they got Jalen Hurts. So who really cares? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, a lot of people like to bring up, I know, draft week of the Vikings laughing at the Eagles for picking Reagor over Jefferson. I'm like, you know, 5, 6 years later, that means nothing.
No, and I don't even think Rick Spielman, because I talked about it, I don't think he was laughing at the Eagles. He was just excited to get the player he wanted.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, he probably thought the Eagles were going to get that player.
Yeah. I saw there's no doubt they thought, because I saw Rick in Miami when the Eagles were down there for joint practices, and I was talking to him about it. I said, you know, and he was like, I thought the Eagles were taking Jefferson. And he was just excited that they didn't. Wasn't trying to be a dick, but that's what happens when some of those things unfold that way.
That's the thing. Like, these guys are human. They're going to have emotions towards
it. It's like when the Eagles get excited. When Vic Fangio, who doesn't smile at anything, smiles like a Cheshire cat when he got Jahi Campbell. Yeah. You know, he was happy.
That made me feel pretty good about the Campbell.
There's only one draft instance, because it wasn't edited in recent years, when Howie had that awkward moment with Tom Donahue.
Well, you couldn't script that because it wasn't.
Yeah, it was live. It was live. It was not state-run Eagles.
That's what I wish people
would understand. Believe me, that would have been edited out.
Yeah, that's what I wish people would understand. When it comes from Eagles Entertainment, they're not going to show everything.
Yeah. And by the way, it worked out for both teams. Tom wanted to limit McNeil.
No, they don't. They think everything.
A lot of people don't.
I think our people do. I mean, come on. Eagles Entertainment is great and all, and it's very entertaining, but it is state-run media. They're not going to tell you anything negative.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, I'll be negative when I have to be negative, when the moment calls for it. And, you know, I do this with baseball a lot. John knows. I'm not like our certain friend that likes the Phillies. Every loss is the sky's
falling. Oh, my God. It's the end of the world.
You know what's funny about this is that, and you guys are objective reporters, so it is different for you. But I'm a fan of the team, and I started doing this show, obviously. But, like, most fans, or at least fans that I've talked to, don't go through life like never thinking there's a problem with their favorite team. That's where I like, there is a small sector that gets mad at people like you who do point out objectivity.
And they get a lot of
every game. We're going to win the Super Bowl here. Like most fans don't.
And they get a lot of retweets and a lot of likes.
Well, they're the most vocal. Yeah,
that's what I mean. They're the most vocal. Right. But most fans, like, I mean, come on, we got a lot of fans in here. Most of these people see problems with the Eagles.
Yeah.
You know, so, whether they talk about that, it or not.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Oh, no, no, I agree with you there. But by the way, this is a funny story from my dad. So, like, my dad will text me sometimes during Phillies games, and he'll have X or Twitter or whatever, Facebook, any of that stuff. He goes, how the hell do you guys just go on these social media apps and just tweet your feelings every single time something goes right or wrong? And I'm like, Dad, I wish I had the answer to that.
Yeah. Social media remains a cesspool. The moment I am out of this industry, sayonara from social media.
That's why I'm glad I got your number, John. I can get your real feelings any time of the day.
Yeah. That's funny. I heard someone say this about social media. Social media is not social, and it's certainly not media.
I felt bad. Our buddy Art Stapleton from the Giants got flack from people the other day. And again, if you're offended, it's probably you. Because when journalism lost the Kentucky Derby, he goes, oh, you mean aggregator and content creator weren't in it? I thought it was funny. Like, I thought it was funny, but people are like so upset over it. I'm like, if you're upset, that means you're probably one of them. Like,
yeah. Well, one of the reasons, and Art's a good dude. I mean, look, a lot of people just steal people's stuff and put it up there, and they don't give them credit. And it's like one of the things where I'm like at X, like a lot of guys will tweet every moment at training camp practice and whatever, you know, X is not paying me. So, you know, I'm not doing that. It's just, you know, whatever they give us. Now, it's a little bit better with Elon because he gives us a little bit of money, depending, but not.
But before, you weren't getting anything.
Before, you were getting zero, nada, zilch. And it's like, everybody's worried about Twitter, back in the Twitter. I'm like, I would have this discussion with Elliot all the time. They're not fucking paying you, dude.
Yeah, but the one thing it does do is, and I hear you, John. Believe me, I understand it too. That's why I don't post on Twitter that much, because YouTube pays us and Twitter doesn't. So I'm more on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
But, the one thing about Twitter that it does do is that it does create, like, it's
what it does. Promotion. So it's like
in a way where if your name is seen a lot or you're consistently putting out content, people will come to your, not always. It doesn't mean it convert everybody, but I do think it
well, but I've talked to some people with much larger followings, and very few people actually click on and read, because you have all these metrics,
you know, right.
Mm-hmm. When you're at, you know, big, you know, so they don't, it doesn't relate. If it did, I would do it. Right. But
organic traffic is always going to be the most valuable traffic. And I'm proud to say, Jacob, 100% organic since our inception. So it is more important for sure.
Well, that's what happens when you build a brand and people respect what the product you're putting out.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just is what it is. Like I've seen people that, you know, segments I come on, I'll re-listen just to hear, like, you know, how I talked or that or something, because I saw one of the comments, I laughed. It's like, I'll tune in the 7-minute mark for actual football talk. And I just started laughing.
Jeff, the Jeff Kerr segment has become iconic here on Jeff.
I don't know why.
People are like, hey, where's Jeff Kerr? I'm like, he'll be back, everybody.
Yeah, you guys can praise me and bash me, do whatever you need I don't care. Any publicity is good publicity.
Jeff. Jeff, I got a question on the draft, man. I want to ask you about Andrew Mukuba. What do you think of that player? Any concerns on that player? He's an interesting one. What are your thoughts on the Andrew Mukuba draft pick?
Of the players that they drafted, I think he's the one most likely to kind of be a plug and play guy. Like, he's going to
day one starter, most likely. Yes, I agree.
He's just one of those guys, and you know, that's where I went and read a lot of my buddy Andrew DeCecco stuff, because I knew he was a big Mukuba guy. So I'm like trying to think, okay, where could you put him? Like, you could put him at safety, put him at corner, but you know, And again, we're going back to the X stuff. I did see a fan post. They're like, there was 100% no way the Eagles were going to go into this season just letting Sidney Brown start uncontested. And I'm like, well, that's a good thought, you know. And Andrew Mukuba is going to be that guy that I think challenges for that spot.
Do you think any concern on the size or no?
I mean, you're always concerned about size, but I guess this is the whole look at the tape. Look at what the guy brings. Look
his
at the versatility.
Tape is good, man. He does look good on tape.
Honestly, it feels like he's – there's some C.J. Gardner-Johnson tendencies, the good ones.
Well, I love
him. The good one.
I mean, I agree with you, one, because yeah, I've been saying it for a while. The Eagles are going to bring in competition. If they didn't draft somebody, Justin Simmons would probably be here, but – they were never going to go in without competition. They try to do that at every position, but it was the 64th pick. I mean,
Sidney Brown was 66.
Correct, but Sidney's been here for a number of years. So, you know, but the point I'm trying to make is the more telling thing to me is, so Andrew Mukuba comes in as a big Bangio guy, where Sidney Brown is not.
He was a short side guy.
So that, to me, is more of the advantage he has. But look, Howie said they were trying to trade up in the second round, and it wasn't for Mukuba. So it was for somebody else, and eventually we'll figure out who. I don't know. I look at who went ahead of him. Trey Amos would be the most notable. I don't think they would have considered Mike Green, even though that obviously is a slam dunk second-round pick from a football perspective, maybe not from a life perspective. Anthony Belton, maybe. Benjamin Morrison, maybe.
I kind of had a feeling it was Anthony Belton.
Oladejo, maybe. Like Nick Scorton, maybe. Elijah Roro, maybe. People say they didn't draft a tight end. Well, Terrence Ferguson went 46 and Arroyo went 50.
Yeah, that's five of their top 50. And I was like, oh, wow, I don't think there – I mean, there were still some good tight ends on the board, but not those five. Those were the five I had pegged.
It was those two, Taylor, Warren, and Loveland, I guess. Yeah, those are the five.
Yeah, I mean, two in the top 14, that's the first time that's happened since the merger.
Yeah,
but I'm just trying to get to those are the players sort of in the Eagles' orbit. You know, Taylor's probably a little bit too high. But yeah, I mean, so you know, I love, you know, that's editing Andrew Mukuba. I mean, that was not a slam dunk pick, sort of like Mac McWilliams. Some of them were slam dunk picks. Jihad was a slam dunk pick.
I feel like Mac McWilliams perspective. I feel like he went under the radar a bit where he got picked. It's like they made so many picks, and you're like, oh yeah, that's right. They got him out of this draft too. That was one of the picks. I love their first four picks. I'm like, all right, like this is a pretty good draft for them.
Yeah, they really like Ty Robinson. That's clearly. And how he did some nice work there because he knew he didn't have to pick him in the third round. So he was able to go down.
I thought they could have gone later in the fourth, honestly. But, you know, if he's there, he's there. You get him.
Yeah. So there's a lot, but that's where the editing would have helped. I would say those two picks, Andrew and Mac, because those were two picks they were clearly thinking about other people. In the third round, when they traded down, I thought it was just a nice winning outside the margins thing, saying, well, we're going to draft Ty Robinson, so why wait? Why do it now? And, it, you know, he also mentioned there was somebody in the third round. So we're talking about 96 that they were trying to trade up to get. And I look at the names there, and it's like Jared Wilson, you know, now that they picked up a backup center, maybe it was. It's a Georgia kid. Maybe it was Jared Wilson.
John, who do you think their Red Star players were in this draft?
Jeff, thank you. I can't believe I haven't asked this question. A week after the draft, we still haven't talked about Red Stars.
Well, I would say I give my and we did ask Howie that question, which he did not answer.
No, he won't give you. He won't give us the answer.
Well, he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to, you know, put the highlight on the guys that weren't Red Star players. But my guess, my top guess would be number one would be Robinson.
That would be my. I still think Jahai Campbell was a Red Star guy for them too.
I don't know because of the injuries. It encompasses everything. Small Munden. This is not a indication of best players. It's just they're everything to encompass community work, blah, blah, blah. Everything encompasses to what Jeffrey Lurie says is a Philadelphia Eagle. And my best guesses are Small Munden, Ty Robinson, and probably Drew Kendall. Those are my best guesses.
Ty Robinson is an impressive young man. He's already accomplished.
It's a great line by Brookover, who, you know, Brookie's older like me, and he's like, boy, it's depressing. After we got off the Zoom call, it's like when a 24-year-old kid is more accomplished than you.
Oh, yeah. Way to hit the nail on the head there, Brookie.
Who's your favorite pick, Jeff?
Ty Robinson.
Ty?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll say this. Their first five picks are defense. I like them all. Like I know that's – it's funny because all I've been doing is complaining about this draft class, how bad it is, but I don't hate their draft. I thought it was underwhelming. I think
to John's point, that's really what became evident to me in the draft is that the top of the class was just meh, but there was pretty good depth throughout the, you know, rounds two through five, which is obviously where the Eagles made a lot of picks. So I did think it was okay in the middle of the draft, but
it's not like last year where I thought, okay, Quinyon Mitchell, you're going to see him play right away. Cooper DeJean, you're going to see him do something. Like this class, it's like Jahai Campbell. It's like, I think he's going to be a good player, but when's he playing? Andrew Bakuba, I like him. I'm not exactly sure where he fit. Ty Robinson's a guy I feel like is going to play, going to be part of that rotation, and he's going to make an impact. I don't think he's going to make a Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean type impact, but he's going to be part of that pass rush.
Yeah, he's going to, things would have to go really poorly for him not to be involved with the rotation. But, I think he's the fourth guy.
As a guy who likes to talk to the rookies a lot and likes to, you know, it's a shame for what I do. None of these names are, unless they do something really stupid, is going to click for CBS. It sucks. But I get the right about him in training camp, so it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Makuba's got the best chance to be a day one starter. And that's because Campbell's not going to be ready.
And Makuba's going to be a good player for them. He's a Vic guy. So
how about this general draft question from my boy Rich, not checking in, member for 9 months. Thank you, Rich. Sanders, fifth round, Jeff. What'd you think of that?
Ooh, yes. I'll tell you what. Not bad. Not bad. I'll just say that.
By the way, a lot of people saw who did see the video, unscripted, the Eagles unscripted draft room video. Mentioned the weird. There was one. I don't want to say poor edit because I don't want to get those guys in trouble, but it was weird. It was sort of out of place, and that was the quick. We're going to take Mac McWilliams at 145. A lot of people who did watch it traced that to, oh yeah, the Eagles were taking Sanders at 144. At 145, he was there. Cleveland jumped up to 144 to take him.
I still don't get what Cleveland did. Like, why even take Dylan Gabriel?
I don't know
what they're doing over there.
I would flip it the other way and say,
I would say Sanders.
They already took Gabriel, who I thought was a good pick.
My assumption by watching their videos is that was not a Kevin Stipansky or Andrew Berry pick.
Well, if you look at Andrew Berry's reaction, he's just like,
yeah,
why did we just do this?
Yes.
And, you know, Shador is so weird to me. Like, I know everybody likes to talk about Shador. I thought he was a really good player in college. And, yeah, he's going to have his flaws in the NFL, but someone told me he would have fell in the fifth round if I said you're crazy.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe round two. But I still thought some team would take him in round one just because of the upside. But, again, the people that handled his outside of football stuff.
Well, the stories that have come out are just – like, I don't know if you heard the Giants story, which basically the Giants, when they interview quarterbacks, you know, basically go through an install and they put a couple mistakes in there on purpose to see if the the quarterback prospect picks them out. And Sanders didn't pick it out, and he got mad that they tricked him. And he basically said, well, maybe I'm not the guy for you.
Yeah.
What are you doing, dude? Yeah,
there's a guy that, and I know a lot of people know the name, Ryan Leaf. And now he's in media. I'd love to ask Ryan Leaf this, because this was the red flag on Ryan Leaf, his attitude. And there were stories I heard long after he was done. He was a bad teammate, and he blamed everybody for his shortcomings. And he didn't have a lot of them in college. Shador did.
And well, he also had significant drug problems, like Johnny Manziel.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, outside of that, like, the on-field stuff, like, you're blaming linemen, you're blaming receivers, you're blaming your defense. But apparently Shador would do that stuff, too. There were a couple stories that came out of college football last year. And I'm like thinking, dude, how good would you really be if you didn't have Travis Hunter? And I know you had a terrible offensive line, but – you know,
yeah, I mean, I don't think
his offensive line was awful.
Oh yeah, it was terrible. He was right.
It doesn't mean it's a good look for a quarterback to blame him.
I mean, look. You know, you know your teammates' shortcomings. I had them in football, basketball, bowling. It's you just can't do that.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think he was terribly talented from the perspective of, like, you know, I. To me, it was a bridge pick. It was always a bridge pick of maybe late first round if you're desperate, or early second round, like sort of like Teddy Bridgewater back in the day, who ended up going 32. So I'm not saying I'm surprised he went in the fifth. He lasted to the fifth round, because I am. But I have learned over the years that if you're not going to be a starter, they want somebody who blends into the background. They don't want anybody, you know, making waves. They don't want anybody where the media is going to constantly ask, hey, is Shador going to get a chance? He's so high profile. It hurt him in a way that teams are like, well, I don't want that as my backup.
I mean, perfect example. We saw it here. And it worked out for him, but Jalen, when's Jalen playing?
Well, no, nobody said when is Jalen playing when Carson was here, because it wasn't.
But the Eagles made that clear, though. But still, you're going to get that in a lot of places. When's Shador playing? When's Johnny Manziel playing?
Who are they keeping? They have Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders, and Deshaun Watson, who's not going to be on the team this year because of the injury he suffered. So rule him out. But you still got four quarterbacks. Who goes? Pickett? Kenny Pickett's done.
I mean, you paid Joe Flacco some money. So
yeah,
I think
he's got the veteran presence.
I mean, are you going to cut a third-round pick in Dylan Gabriel? I mean, we've seen teams do this.
Maybe it's Shador who's on the outs.
Yeah, the Eagles had a second-round pick once they cut Mike Bellamy. That was –
that's a long time ago.
Yeah, man. But yeah, that does happen.
Now
today.
Teams don't like to cut their picks.
By the way, I used to love that back in the day. Yeah, this guy stinks. wasted the pick.
I think it's a better way to go.
It is.
But yeah, GMs, it's easy to say. You know, Howie could cut his picks. He doesn't like to, but it's not going to affect him. But other GMs feel if they cut their picks, they're like, oh, you know, that's going to be the owner's going to notice that.
Didn't the Eagles just cut somebody?
Cut Ty Davis Price this weekend.
That's what it was for the rookie minicamp guy, right?
Yeah, for the wide receiver Giles Jackson, who was signed.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, you know, a tryout player. I always like to see that. A tryout player gets picked up.
It's fun. It's a nice story.
It is. Yeah, it's great. It's a great story.
Because
yeah,
when you go to rookie minicamp, you're like, none of these guys are making the team. Outside the draft picks.
Right. Don't miss Adam Thielen. That's what Sirianni told me. It's like 3 years ago. By the way, Nick Sirianni didn't talk after rookie camp. That's like, lame. Come on, dude.
That's lame.
He's entrenched now, John. He's a Super Bowl champion. You guys will be treated differently from here on out by the great Nick Sirianni.
Well, you mean treated any differently?
I don't know. Not talking.
I haven't talked to the guy.
No more now, off the record. You guys going cold on you.
Well, you know what? There's a. In fairness, we go cold on Nick too when he's in Cali. Yeah. He's like a
ficus plant, as Sielski would say. But Sielski said that about Doug Peterson. It's everybody. I don't know why they trot the coach out. We don't want to talk to the coach because Howie's in charge of the draft stuff. So Howie gets 90% of the questions.
I felt so bad for Brooks Kabina that Friday night when Nick's like, I forget your question.
Hey, Howie could be a bully, man. Yeah.
What happened with Brooks?
Brooks hurt his finger. And Brooks tends to talk with his hands. So, and Brooks asks very involved questions at certain times. Got to dumb that down for these guys. But, anyways, talking with his hands, and he's got this big, you know,
finger thing on.
Yeah, he's got a cast on.
Yeah. And Howie, you know, made a quip about it because Howie thinks he's a stand-up comedian.
He does. So what did he say? Like, you got that thing on your finger, and he didn't address the question at all?
He said something about being distracted. And,
yeah.
And, that's funny. And Nick was laughing. Then Nick lost it. And yeah, they do that every once in a while. They did it. They pull it like they did it to Dave Uram when he asked about Hassan Reddick. They did it to, and it's more Howie, Rube when he asked about Jalen Carter's off the field stuff after he got drafted. Those are the most notable occasions.
That might be the only reason that Nick is up there with him, because Nick doesn't get any questions. I mean, why would we ask Nick questions? We talk to him 100 times a year, but we talk to Howie like twice.
Exactly. So that's the point. Like, I don't even look at Nick, so maybe he is pissed off at me. But, you know, I get to talk to Nick plenty during the season, and I should have gotten a chance to talk to Nick after rookie camp, but come on. You got to talk after rookie camp. But anyway, like 3 years ago, I asked him, these guys have 2 days to open your eyes or the coaching staff's eyes. What can they do in two days?
I remember this.
And he basically said, don't miss Adam Thielen. That's it. Who's the one guy who developed from rookie tryout player. I'm sure there's somebody else, but I can't think of him.
I mean, if you want to go old school, Vince Papale.
Well, I'm talking modern. Yeah, there's a bunch of guys, older.
But Adam Thielen is the guy.
And that's it. I think he's entering his 13th year.
This might be his last year. He gets to retire on his terms, which is awesome.
And by the way, I bring this up when it comes to Adam. Cooper Shaheen had one bad game last year. Against Adam Thielen.
And remember, I think you and I said that Monday. Adam Thielen does that to everybody.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Cooper because Cooper was from Iowa, obviously. And he grew up a big Thielen fan who played in Minnesota for many years.
Right.
And he was like, after the game, you probably were there, Jeff.
I was. Yeah, I was with you when we were talking.
He was like, wow. He put him in a blender.
So the week going into that, you know, Quinyon Mitchell barely says anything. I actually got a couple good sentences out of him about Adam Thielen. He goes, I don't know how that guy does it. He said it's impressive to watch.
That's why I'm a big route running guy.
Yeah, but he said he was watching Adam Thielen tape. I'm like, oh, I'm going to run with that. And, you know, it's for Quinyon Mitchell, for him to say more than 2 cents is to answer to a question. Which, by the way, I he smiled one time. I said, you know, you're smart by doing this.
Dylan, he's got to be one of the better undrafted guys in the last couple decades, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
That's why I say he was not only undrafted, he was not even a priority free agent. He had to go through the tryout thing.
Oh, he was a tryout player.
Yeah, he was a tryout player. By the way, of the undrafted guys, and I liked Holland Pierce at Rutgers a lot when I watched Big Ten games this year. I'm kind of excited the Eagles got him.
They started him out at guard.
That's not bad.
6'8".
It's a big guy. Yeah, he was really slow. I mean, he had his issues against Abdul Carter, but so did everybody.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
No. Abdul Carter did that to a lot of people.
You guys brought up, what's his name, Cooper DeJean. He's like a star now.
Eagles fans were mad at me when I said the Giants have better pass.
Oh, boy. Should I even bring it up, AJ? By the way, you know, come on. Yeah. AJ, you're ruining it for every dude out there. He's getting John Legend to freaking sing as he proposes to his girlfriend, his longtime girlfriend.
Which is awesome, by the way. I was so excited for the guy.
To John's point, though, yeah. You're setting the bar high, and then you're poking it.
But I put it up there, and I got a bunch of replies. I didn't, you know. But there were a number of
Jalen?
There were, well, I'll get to that. But there were a number of ladies in there that said, now this is the way you do it. I'm like, come on, girls.
Yeah.
We don't all have the ability to get John Legend.
I would love to get John Legend. John Legend, yeah. I don't have the money for John Legend.
Exactly.
Yeah. He cost a couple hundred grand to come in there for one day.
I mean, come on, come on. But to your point, yeah, people are going to bring that up, and people brought that up, and who gives a shit? I mean, evidently Jalen wasn't there, or at least he wasn't pictured. I don't know if he was there or not.
Maybe he didn't want to be pictured. He's a very private.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? I don't know. I don't care. It's about on the field, not off the field.
I almost tweeted this, and I'm glad I didn't. I did not care Jalen was at the White House or not at the White House. I did not care. I still do not care. Jalen was in that AJ Brown thing. I don't care.
Yeah. It's none of my business.
These guys don't hang out with each other every damn day of their lives. I'd be sick of those people. If I hung out with McMullen every day, I'd be a bigger cynic than he is.
Come on. That's true.
That's funny.
Well, I love hanging out with John. I don't know.
Jalen already is sick of him, Jeff. Yeah. He's dipping on everything this offseason. Whether you guys care or not, it's a reality. So we'll see.
You know what? I didn't see as much White House backlash as I thought.
Oh, there was a lot of it, dude. There was a lot of it.
But maybe because I didn't click the button on X.
Although, you know, I got caught up in I was expecting more. I would say that. I was expecting more, but there was a lot. But what did I get into that kerfuffle that was stupid? That was even I couldn't believe. Oh, Albert Breer reported that there were concerns over Jihad Campbell's both of his knees and both of his shoulders. Both.
Okay, so he's plural. He's like the guy all taped up in SpongeBob.
And so many people got upset by that. I'm like, What are you getting upset with me for? Those are the type of people I will never understand. Yeah, I will never understand.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. I don't believe it. All right. Good. All right.
By the way, you John, Martin Frank and I had a great White House visit on Monday.
Yeah,
I ask you about that. How was that, Jeff? How was it down there?
It's definitely a surreal experience. I'll say that. Just going in and taking the picture of the lawn, and you know, you want to take pictures. Like you're just like, okay, you're never going to be in here again. So you know, you take a picture of the rose.
Well, that's the only reason I wanted to go. But we had the post draft show, and I'm like, I'm not missing the post draft show. And by that point, you guys are long gone. As things fall in my
or Martin, like he didn't even get his credential approved right away. Like Zach Berman got his at like 12:10, so we were checking our emails. I got mine.
I told you when I got mine.
Yeah, Yeah, you got yours around the same time I got mine, I think.
Yeah.
But it was just a really, I felt bad for Martin because Martin's like, go in. And then he texts me about 10 minutes later. Okay, I'm in. So, yeah, I mean, it all worked out. But it was hard to see a lot.
Well, that's another thing. I'm like, that's another thing. By the morning, so Monday morning, they do things. I think the Eagles do things late. Well, the White House is even worse. So, you know, you're expecting people to come down there without accreditation. Like, what if I can't get in?
Yeah, you're stuck. You just spent your whole day going to D.C. But it was something. I give Elliot a lot of credit. He was able to get some good shots. Martin, and again, we were talking to some people that cover that do this on a daily basis, and they told us this is probably where to stand, where we were. And they said, again, typical politicians, they don't respect anybody. Sit down. You're supposed to sit down if you have a seat, and they weren't doing it. You know who sat down? Dave McCormick, of all people.
Yeah, well.
It was cool seeing him. Like, Pennsylvania rep, no matter what side of the fence you're on.
I mean, yeah. I
it's well, still cool to see these
I,
guys.
I think it was bad timing. If it were June, last time it was supposed to be in June. I was going. I was
yeah,
ready.
Yeah, it
I
was true. It was
and they
true.
Canceled it the night before. This time, the day after the draft, I'm like, that is bad time.
That must have been the White House, right? With that date. I mean, that's
oh yeah, I yeah. assume.
Well, they were doing a lot of them around that time because yeah. they had Ohio State there the week before and they had
right. By the way, at 1 o'clock today from the Oval Office. Donald Trump will announce that D.C. is getting the 2027, I believe, NFL.
That's going to be a cool draft setting, I think.
Will their new stadium be done by then? When are they?
2030. So yeah. I actually.
That's going to take a while.
So Martin and I took the Metro past RFK to and from on Monday. And then I actually. Funny travel story, by the way, guys. You guys ever have a flight get canceled on you? That's like at 5, like 6,
every time.
Yeah, yeah. But like 5, 6 a.m., you wake up at 2:30 and your flight's canceled and you're scrambling to get another flight. We took a flight from Baton Rouge into D.C. and drove back. Oh, man. It's
Baton Rouge, man. That's got to be tough.
Tournament actually was, Baton Rouge. So
yeah, but when you start getting those smaller – I mean – there's a 50% chance any flight is getting at least delayed at this stage in the worst industry in America, the airline industry.
We were supposedly from Louis Armstrong Airport in New Orleans, and we were staying in Kenner, so we took an Uber all the way down back to Baton Rouge, and it was a nice airport. I'll say this. Everybody at that airport was because it's a smaller airport. They're not
I love smaller airports. I love Trenton locally.
Trenton's
I love
great,
Atlantic
John.
City.
Yeah. I actually sent something to American about how friendly their employees were at Baton Rouge. I said that to me, that doesn't go unnoticed. About how nice they were.
Well, compared to major airports, yeah.
Yeah. And I said, I get it, it's a small airport, but I said they did not have to be this nice or this friendly or this accommodating, and they were at 5 a.m.
All right, nice. One of the few
good airport
stories.
You don't get many of them.
No.
Jeff, thank you for joining in today, brother. We appreciate it. As always, always good to get your breakdown on the NFL draft, everything that happened since the NFL draft. We'll talk to you again next week, brother. It's always good to have you return.
Yeah, the Philly season isn't over, so you got to keep working. I was told it was over 15 times already.
Yeah, I was told it was over the whole week. I'm bowling. I'm hearing all this thing. I'm like,
how about that game yesterday? That was a crazy baseball
game.
Oh,
that was insane. Like, that was a wild normally, game. I always go to the Sunday games, but I was traveling home. I wasn't going to the Sunday game anyway. But they gave my season tickets. My family uses them. My mom and my sister had a great time yesterday at the game, and it was Mother's Day. It was the Mother's Day celebration, so – but, my sister texts me, play-by-play stuff of the game like she always does. And she's just like, man, Ranger Suarez, what happened to him? I said, nothing. It's his first start back. But, season's over. They lost the game.
Yeah.
Season's over.
Jeff, good stuff, brother. As always, we appreciate you doing it. Today, we'll talk to you again next week. All right, brother. Thank you, man. Yeah,
sounds great. By the way, schedule week next week, boys.
Yeah, next Wednesday.
That's a win. That we're gonna play that game. That's a win.
You know what? Have you on that Thursday, John.
That's a loss.
John's gonna love that game. That's his favorite show of the year. It's
I feel like an idiot. I was off two games last year. I had him at 12-5, and I thought I was being optimistic.
I had him at 11-6.
I had him up and I got ripped on this show. I got I'm a homer on this. I was being a homer, but hey, it worked out for me. So we'll see. Jeff, thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Yep, sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right, there's Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. Follow him at Jeff Kerr. Jeff, what is he? Jeff Kerr CBS on Twitter, I believe it is. So make sure you guys follow him. He's the best. We appreciate Jeff doing it today, as always. Johnny Mac, great Monday show so far. We have about 28 minutes left to go. I do want to start to look at we're post-draft now, everybody. All right, now talent acquisition season is not over, but we have a much better look at what the 2025 Eagles will look like than we did a couple weeks ago. So we'll dive into that a little bit. We'll dive into some of the battles that we have coming up. Who's going to be battling it out in training camp when that comes? We'll talk a little bit about that. Plenty of other things to talk about as well. Good to see everybody in here right now. Kirsten, Philly, Crowley, James, Flexing, Jason, A-Team, Twiz the Jigga. We got all of our usuals in here. We appreciate all of you guys and anybody else that's watching. We appreciate you as well. Got great viewership here on a Monday, May 5th. So appreciate all of you guys. Johnny Mac, we'll take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back here on Birds 365.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.